For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
So Scott Anderson, earlier we were doing the comparison between 1984 and currently. Tigers are taking on the San Diego Padres right now, who they played in the World Series in 1984. The Pistons are taking on the New York Knicks right now in the playoffs. The Pistons played the Knicks in 1984. Gator, do you remember who the Lions drafted in 1984?
1984.
In 85, they took Lomas Brown and Kevin Glover with their first two picks. Outstanding picks.
Those are pretty good picks.
Yep.
86 was Chuck Long.
Mm-hmm. 83 was the low-key worst draft pick in the history of the draft. A James draft Jones. That gave all those Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and the Lions took a fullback at 13. A fullback!
What was the position?
In 84?
Yeah.
If I give you the position, you should know right away.
Oh.
But I can give you the position.
Why don't you give me the position?
Tight end.
I should know right away. I don't know why it's
that's okay.
Yeah, it was not a very
good pick. It wasn't a great pick.
No, it was somebody from West Coast, maybe?
Yep, exactly. From Cal.
I don't remember who it was.
Tight end David Lewis.
David Lewis, good God. Yep. Yeah, no, I don't remember that. Terrible.
So 84, let me ask you another question about 1984.
Okay.
What happened in WrestleMania?
It wasn't there.
There was no WrestleMania in 84?
No, WrestleMania started, I think, in 85.
Damn it. I thought we had another parallel between 84.
Well, in 1984, that was the first year I went to the wrestling matches.
Is it?
Yeah.
Was that King King?
That was not King King.
Oh.
King King was later on. King King was like 86-ish. 84 was the first time I went to the matches. Hulk Hogan, it was great. Actually, great card. Hulk Hogan and Dr. D. David Schultz was the headliner. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Slaughter and the Iron Sheik. Yeah, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson tag team against Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. Was a hell of a card.
Orndorff. Yep.
It's a great card.
Yeah. Sweet.
At the Cobo. Beautiful. Air-conditioned Cobo Arena.
Gotcha. All right. Well, anyway, that might conclude our tie-ins to 1984.
You didn't go anything with the Red Wings, huh?
Well, they didn't make the playoffs. We already established that, currently.
But needed a Lions, but you went with a Lions draft pick.
Well, Lions draft is happening this week.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I could look up who the Red Wings draft pick. Do you remember the Red Wings took in 1984?
Even Sean Burr, maybe?
Give me one moment here. In 1984, it's quite a scroll.
It's the Mario Lemieux, I think, draft in 84 first.
Sean Burr, he nailed it. Good for you.
Thank you.
I love their second round pick that year.
Who was their second round pick?
Doug Hooda.
Doug. It's a Doug.
Always love Dougs.
Doug who?
There's not a lot of Doug appearances. You don't see a lot of Dougs.
Who? Duh.
Hooda.
Yeah, you know, Iserman, part of both organizations. That Red Wing organization.
Yeah, he was drafted in 83.
Yeah, and this Red Wing organization.
You know, the more we change, the more we stay the same. Things are more like they are now than they've ever been before. That was one of our presidents who said that. It's a great quote. It's one of my favorites. Okay, so draft coming up on Thursday. You know, the trade talk, right? So we talked about the Birchie kid and the story about moving up to take Jalen Walker. Should he drop into the teens? We talked about the possibility of moving up for the number two or the number three pick because Peter Schrager reported that their phones at two and three are ringing off the hook, the Browns and the Giants, teams with intention of moving up. It would be a massive, massive cost. Using the chart, we're talking about multiple firsts, maybe multiple seconds and thirds, or this entire draft and a combination of firsts moving forward. And you'd probably do this for Abdul Carter and probably nobody else. Schrager did have something else that was kind of interesting. We talked about the guys that crushed the combine that everybody raves about. Jalen Walker's one of them. Emeka Buka's the other. Here are two names that are going to go higher than where the consensus mock drafts have them going. Okay?
All right.
One, edge rusher Mikel Williams.
From Georgia.
Two, tight end Colston Loveland. From Michigan. I'm going to... I think it's a pretty safe assumption that the Lions aren't going tight end in the first round, but Mikel Williams could be off the board, and that's a player that we have seen on the board that is a coveted edge rusher. And you're not a big fan, though, right?
Mikel Williams? Yeah. No, not a big fan. I mean, if he's there at 28 and they take him, okay, but I'm not moving up.
Yep.
Here's a guy I would move up for.
Okay.
Then maybe you might have to move up maybe five spots. But if you get to pick 22, 23, and this name is on there, mm-hmm. and you get wind that somebody's looking at him, I'd move up to get him. Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon. The Lions, they have a need for defensive tackle, man. It's not quite screaming, but it's going to be because DJ Reader is not here long term because we don't know what Broderick Martin is. And because Ali McNeil is coming off a serious knee injury, that's your defensive tackle position. You got Levi Onwuzurike, but he's that tweener, goes inside, outside. I think there's a real need for defensive tackle. And if you take Derek Harmon, by the time that DJ Reader's out, Derek Harmon's in, I think you're in a really good place on that defensive line if you were to add him.
I'm going to do something that's probably not an equivalent as it pertains to this story. That's probably not an equivalent to the Lions board. The thing about doing that is it is totally predicated on is Walter Nolan and Kenneth Grant still on the board? Because
and how you rate those guys.
Yes. I'm sure that the Lions have a preference and maybe they have somebody else. Maybe they've got, is it the Darius Alexander, the kid out of Toledo? Maybe they got somebody else in that first bucket of defensive tackles. If Harmon is the last one standing, I would move up. If Harmon is, you know, when you're talking about it, if you're at 24 and you still have Harmon, Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan out there, I'm not moving up for anybody. I'll just let the board play itself out. But that's because I put them in the similar bucket. I put it, and the Lions may not do that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I mean, it's probably wise to say that, but we don't know what the Lions, what their draft board dictates. If they
Derek Harmon would be a great pick.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a 1 to 10 scale and Derek Harmon's a 9 and Kenneth Grant's an 8 and Walter Nolan's an 8, there is a difference. They're not all the same. So we don't know what that is. But for me, if I rated my defensive tackle scale, and they are to what you're saying, they're pretty close.
Yep,
those three guys are pretty close.
Yep. And, you know, there's others. Like I said, maybe that bucket at the top has Nolan, Harmon, Grant, Darius Alexander, and Shamar Turner from Texas A&M.
I was just going to say, Shamar Turner is another name to keep an eye on because that's a guy who's getting a lot of publicity lately. Mm-hmm. People talk him up that he's just, when you watch his film, he's a terror on film. And everybody pays attention to the other players at Texas A&M. They have two edge rushers that are going to be drafted with Scorton and Stewart. That Turner is the guy you really got to look at.
Well, that position also has the player that I think is the most underrated in this entire draft. I see him fifth, sixth round. I think he's better than that. And that's something else that they may latch on to is here's a deep position where we don't have to move at all. But 248-539-9797, back to the Pistons at 120. Let's go to Ron. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, question about the draft here. You've been talking about how many picks you'd have to give up to move up. What if you included J-Mo in the deal? Then how much draft would you have to give up?
Well, it's certainly a lot less, but you've also, but if you do that, then you've also created a problem because you've created a hole in your offense. But yeah, it would ease the burden. I mean, you wouldn't have to give to move up. Let's say, as we've talked, like from 28 to 2, you'd have to give up so much. But if you throw Jameson Williams in the mix, I think you're talking like J-Mo first round this year and maybe a first round next year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's worth it, but it occurs to me that there's been more and more talk about it, and frankly, I would not miss him.
The problem, you wouldn't miss him?
No.
Why?
I think he's, because I think he's immature and unreliable, and I've thought that for a long time.
Yeah. Do you think people grow up?
I hope they do, but right now I don't know that he's shown us that he's going to do it.
Well, they know better than obviously you do or I do, so they can make that call themselves. The problem with Jameson Williams is that he's nearing the end of the contract and he's about to cost a ton of money. So I think it wouldn't cost as much as if it was just draft capital, but I think it would still be a lot of draft capital because people are like, these teams aren't in a position to take a player that's going to be up for huge money in 2 years. In fact, in some ways, they'd probably rather just go draft the next guy that they can pay less for 4 years.
But if they don't have a wide receiver, then that would seem to be, it could be a fit for them. They're like, yeah, well, they could use the player for sure.
It's the finances that get in the way of it.
But teams sign free agents every year to big money, and this would be a guy who definitely is going to earn a big paycheck when his fifth year is done.
I hate all this trade J-Mo talk, to be honest with you. You know, you guys know I'm a big fan of him. I still think there's so much more to that player and what he can bring to your team. The last caller is not going to miss him. That's his, opinion. I think he'll miss 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. That was just minimum last year.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's just minimum. I think he can do so much more than that. And also the stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, where the safety has to cover over the top, coverages are rolled that way, the misdirection you can use with Jameson Williams.
His willingness to block downfield.
That's underrated that he can block downfield for all the runs that, Jahmyr Gibbs breaks out, even David Montgomery. I think that you can have him for 2 more years if you pick up his option. It's a big thing for a team that has a window that's right now. I don't know what the future holds, but I know right now the Lions are a really good team, and they're one of the favorites to make it to the Super Bowl. I don't want to mess that up,
Yeah, we'll get back to the Pistons coming up, plus more of your phone calls and feedback. 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, I've got some really good news for you. I think we finally officially moved on from winter. And more great news? The red, white, and blue trucks are everywhere. Call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and they're going to make sure that your HVAC and plumbing are ready to take on the heat that's just around the corner. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating they have from the Better Business Bureau, or how about some of those 5-star reviews they have on Google? So whether it's your furnace or water heater, boiler, water filtration, your AC, schedule an appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Walter. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Walter.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
So I just wanted to fill you guys in. I'm not sure if you talked about this already or no, but it looks like J-Mo has unfollowed the Lions. So I just wanted to get an idea of what, I mean, it sounds like
it's going to be... Well, start with this. Where did they unfollow him? Instagram, Twitter...
Yeah, it looks like on Instagram he unfollowed the Lions. And I think that's the only thing he has, but that's the only thing I saw it on. But that, you know, that to me is a textbook sign that this guy's gone. So what would we get for him? I mean, what's the implications?
Well, if you're trading Jameson Williams, you're probably trading Jameson Williams for draft picks because you're talking about now needing something to help. You're going to have to replace him. And whether it's then use those draft picks to trade for a veteran or use those draft picks to take the next. And if you're trading him, there's two implications that I would draw from this if it were for real. And I'm not sure it is or it isn't. There's weird social media behaviors in the past that have meant nothing along these lines, but it could be something if it's true. Walter, if you have to conclude that either A, there's been some other indication that the maturity that people are hoping would come along with it is not there, or B, they just love too many other receivers and think they can save a ton of money because they're going to need to sign Kirby Joseph, Aiden Hutchinson, Brian Branch, Sam LaPorta, you know, et cetera, over the next few years, and somebody's got to go, and this is the player that they've deemed that they can replace cheaply in this draft with some of their excess draft capital. Those would be the implications. But I, you know, again, I'm always careful with the social media behaviors because there's been so many head fakes and misleading stuff.
No, I agree. I guess the one thing is like then if this, and again, you can't predict the future, right? But we traded up to get this guy off an ACL. While I think the growth he's made has been pretty solid in the last year, I think there's such a high ceiling with this guy. And I get, we just signed Amon-Ra. We got a ton of guys to sign. But why not pick up the option, see where it goes, and who knows, if he has a down year, maybe we'll get him at a bargain. But again, I don't know. I think we're a little premature with it. But and I agree with you that the social media thing isn't always going to tell you the full story, but with this generation and how things go, I think there's smoke. It's not necessarily fire, but there's definitely some smoke there.
No, there's something to it. Follow it throughout the week and see what happens. I mean, is it possible that he could, that he knows? And
I struggle with there's definitely some smoke there.
Well, he started the call with he's definitely gone.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
He said that, but that's what he started the call with.
Right.
He was in my book when I read that. You know, he's definitely gone. So let's talk about trading J-Mo.
All right. So what's a fact? Has Jameson Williams unfollowed the Lions on social media?
I guess. I haven't looked into it, but we've gotten that text.
Apparently, he has unfollowed on Instagram.
Okay, one of the things we got here, though, is somebody just posted, and this is, again, I don't know what to believe or not to believe. Somebody on Twitch just said he never followed the Lions in the first place. It's internet clowns trying to stir up blank.
That's why I didn't know, because I didn't know if he followed him in the first place. So I didn't, you know, I couldn't tell if he didn't follow him or unfollowed him. I'm sorry. And so people, I would say this, it's misinformation season in
this
the NFL
true.
Right now. Okay.
That's a fact.
Okay. So I don't know what to read into and not read into it. I definitely don't like reading into social media posts and following and unfollowing, because athletes do it all the time now. They're vague posting this or putting this on their story.
Dude, peace out. TJ Watt, right? Peace out.
Exactly. I can't keep up.
248-539-9797. Wayne is next. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, what's going on? Y'all right?
We're great, Wayne.
Listen, man, I love J-Mo. He's one of my favorite players on the Lions.
Hold on.
He's a generational athlete.
Wait, did you just say I live with J-Mo?
He says he loves J-Mo.
No, I love J-Mo. That's my guy. I don't live with him.
I thought you said you live with him.
I don't got that much intel.
All right.
No, he's one of my favorite players on the Lions, man. But I will say the only way I would trade him is if we get that number two pick and can get Travis Hunter. We got a two-headed monster. What does that sound like to y'all? That sound like something?
I can't tell what you're saying, man. You want what?
Well, Travis Hunter.
How are they getting Travis Hunter?
Well, we're talking about trading up for two or three.
Trading up for number two.
Yeah. I'd love to have Travis Hunter. The problem with Travis Hunter is still – sorry, man. I don't know if you have a bad cell or just overmodulated. Maybe it's just me. trading up for Travis Hunter would be, again, a massive haul of draft picks, even if you include Jameson Williams. I think it would still be a massive haul of draft picks, multiple ones, and multiple picks out of this year's draft. And is Travis Hunter going to be able to play both ways? You know?
Well, he would, but he's not going to play both ways the entire game like he was doing at Colorado.
No.
That's not happening in the NFL. Is he going to play both ways in the NFL? Yeah, he should. Why would you keep him off the field? I mean, the only time you're keeping him off the field at stretches just to keep him, you know, breathing.
Yeah.
But you're going to want him offensively and defensively.
248-539-9797. I feel like this is a conversation we're having. Let's break the Lions so we can fix them.
Well, there is an element of that.
I mean, what are we doing?
Well, when you start trading players away, that's where you start getting a little prickly there.
Stu in West Bloomfield, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Stu.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
Yeah, over the past couple of 48 hours, you know, Jameson Winston has been putting up cryptic messages about loyalty and if you're not on my team, you against me and the ops and, you know, how these teenagers talk. But I think maybe the Lions might have approached him in a professional manner about what if, and I think he might have blew it out of proportion and unfollowed the Lions. Like you said, the social media stuff really don't mean anything with this generation. He could unfollow his mom today because she said no more sweet potato pie on Easter. So, you know, but he has been putting out cryptic messages. And personally, I don't think his maturity level is where the organization wants to be. You know, the personal fouls and the suspensions. I think they're looking for more clean cut, polished players. And if they can get a cheaper receiver in the draft, but try to trade him to a team that he wants to go to.
I don't know where else he'd want to be as far as a post about loyalty. It could be about a million different things.
Thank you, Doug.
It could be about a personal relationship.
Yes. Friends, girlfriend.
Relative.
Agent. Yes.
Assistant agent. Assistant to the assistant agent.
No, everything's about the Lions, Doug.
I mean, it could be a million different things. Like, now.
Wait, did he just post about Oreo cookies? What does that mean?
I don't know, but let's... I struggle with social media stuff because it's been so much of it has been misleading. However, if it's indicative of a pending trade, I just think there's way too much enthusiasm about breaking a pretty good team. You know what it is? That Commanders loss messed us up.
No, I don't think that's it. I think Kang pointed out, it's misinformation season. But it's also the point where you got to find out if they're going to pick up his fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's out there. And if the Lions are reluctant to do that, then, you know, word can leak out. Although I don't think the Lions really don't let word leak out.
And we really struggle because there's a million rumors about a million different things, and we have to sift through it and figure out which ones have the remotest amount of validity worth talking about. This one's tough. The Jameson Williams stuff has been tough to sort through. It all got rekindled yesterday when Albert Breer posted midday yesterday that word in NFL circles is that the Lions might be willing to move Jameson Williams. And that rekindled this whole thing, which.
Well, you know, then you've got they brought Golden in the receiver
which might have had some team thinking maybe they're trading Jameson Williams, which might have started the whole cycle.
Misinformation season.
All right. We promised that we do need to get to the Pistons. It's something pretty incredible about getting bang for your buck. Last night, Pistons-Knicks game came down to maybe just one thing, and the Pistons definitely got bang for their buck. We'll get to that today at 1:32. Hey, baseball fans, you love the long ball, and FanDuel is giving you even more reasons to love homers every Tuesday during the MLB season, because with Dinger Tuesdays, all FanDuel customers can get a home run profit boost. That means when you bet on moonshots, you could take your winnings to new heights. So whether it's a big blast or an Oppo Taco, FanDuel is making betting home runs more fun. Just visit FanDuel.com/Doug to gear up to go yard all season long. I saw today, I think it's a 50% profit boost. So FanDuel.com/Doug to claim your Dinger Tuesday profit boost with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. The opt-in is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so look. Pistons, what a win last night. What a win last night. And there were all kinds of moments that stand out in that win. There is the fact that they were leading just like they were in game one. You know, I wouldn't call it a comfortable lead when you're 6-8 points, but you were up 6-8. Pistons were up 6-8 fourth quarter. They were up 8 going into the fourth quarter. And what did they do? Well, in game one, they gave up a 21-0 run, which absolutely sucked. And we talked about it. It got dissected in every way. How an 8-point lead quickly evaporated. And I mean, they carried the 8-point lead until the 9:06 mark. They were up 98-90. That's when the 21-0 run started. Then last night they go to the fourth quarter again with an 8-point lead. And we were dying to see how they were going to react. They were up 75-67. And the Knicks started to cut into that lead, but the Pistons staved them off on a number of occasions. But the Knicks chipped away, countered with some staving, then some more chipping, and next thing you know, it was tied. And they're inside a minute to go. And what happened? Dennis Schroeder knocks down a cold-blooded open three. On the other end, and there was literally an exchange of possession or two later, the Knicks set up a possession and get Mikal Bridges a wide open straightaway three-pointer with about 15 seconds left, a chance to tie it, and he misses it. And it's one snapshot in time that really, at the end of game two, one team's guy that they traded for stepped up and hit a three, and the other team's guy that they traded for missed the three. Let's look at the price tags. Mikal Bridges, when the Knicks traded for him, they sent 1, 2, 3, 4 unprotected first-round picks, a protected first-round pick.
And Jamison Williams?
And Bojan Bogdanović. They traded all of that to get Mikal Bridges. And he missed the open three. This is not a career-defining miss. But in this time, they did not get a return on their investment. The Pistons, when they traded for Dennis Schroeder, they gave up. Well, let me start with what they got. They got Schroeder. They got Lindy Waters III and two future second-round picks. And they gave up nothing. They were a team that was helping others make trade. They took on cap space. They got Dennis Schroeder. They did get bang for their buck. Their guy that they gave up nothing to get, they assumed a contract and got basically second round draft compensation to do so, stepped up and hit a three. And the guy that the Knicks paid five first-round picks and a player for missed his. Again, it's not career-defining for Mikal Bridges. Got it. He's probably going to help them win maybe even games in this series. But it's kind of funny that those were the price tags on the two guys that took the two most important shots at the end of that game last night.
It is. It's a little ironic. It's but more than anything else, it is funny. I'll laugh with this.
Yep.
That move that they made at the deadline to acquire Schroeder just gets Schroeder and Schroeder at them by the moment. it's really added a professional basketball player in the true sense of the world. He's been around, been to a number of different teams. Maybe he's rubbed some people the wrong way, but what he is experienced. And he can be, to use a J.B. Bickerstaff term, dogged at times defensively. He's got great length, and he's come through on more than one occasion with some big, big shots. So we've said during the regular season, like, wow, that was a big moment there that wasn't too big for Schroeder, and this is why they got him, for that experience. And now we're starting to see in the playoffs, and with the series split one game apiece, that's really interesting when you break down those two players.
The other thing, and it's another story that's written on our website by the Birchie Kid, about how they went out and they did something in the offseason that honestly was met with a collective groan. They brought back Tobias Harris. And when they did that, did people rejoice? No, they did not. And, you know, in Philly last year, you know, the kind of postseason that, you know, will put you on the wrong side of fans and how they feel. But he signed a 2-year, $52 million contract with the Pistons back in last July. And I don't think people were praising Trajan Langdon for one of his early moves there, were they? Did this move the needle much at all? Not really. And here are the Pistons getting a ton out of Tobias. Tobias has been great in this series. And, you know, it's fun to look back at to what is being said and how people feel about certain moves. I don't think we got one call fired up about Tobias Harris coming back to Detroit. Do you?
We got none calls fired up about Tobias Harris coming back. We got people that were complaining because, you know, we didn't do much for Philly in the playoffs. Why are they bringing back a retread? We've already seen this show before. What's the point? Yeah, there were a lot of people that were unhappy about it. Mm-hmm. But the veterans that are here played such a role on this team. It didn't take long for Piston fans, I think, to warm up to Tobias Harris coming back. And when we talked to him right before the start of the season, he was great. And it seemed like he was really looking forward to the opportunity to play with this team and these players.
And thought they could win.
Yeah. And it was, you know, we go back and think that day that we spent at Pistons practice when they brought out Tobias Harris,
yep,
J.B. Bickerstaff, and Trajan Langdon, they all had this like mind. And it does remind me of what the Lions have done to change the culture at Ford Field. The Pistons had to do something, right? We've seen the good culture here at the Pistons, which is something we haven't seen with the Lions. But it had been in dormancy for a long time because of bad moves, whether it was coaches or GMs or whatever. And now they're at a position where they changed everything up in the offseason. And the coach and GM come in, like the players they have to work with, went out and got some new ones. And it's worked to the point where now this is, you know, a historic turnaround to go from 14 wins to 44. And now they're in the playoffs.
248-539-9797. So now, the Knicks have complained about the officiating. Tom Thibodeau, you know, made the point, if Cunningham is driving and there's marginal contact and he gets to the line, then Jalen deserves to get to the line. Well, the Pistons got called for more fouls than the Knicks last night. Cunningham shot 11 free throws. Jalen Brunson shot 11. I'm sorry, did I say Cunningham shot 11? Cunningham shot 12. Jalen Brunson shot 11.
Correct.
There's not a huge discrepancy there. And did they shoot a lot of free throws early in the game? No, they did not. At halftime, I think it was like 14-2. But they shot more free throws in the second half of the game. They definitely got some calls down the stretch. And oh, by the way, they were looking for the calls. They were trying to get foul calls. The Pistons just play basketball and the fouls happen. The Knicks, and specifically Brunson, was the worst offender. That guy, God, he's irritating to watch.
He's very irritating because he's looking to draw fouls. He's not looking to score baskets. He's looking just to get to the free throw line and foul guys out. Now, there's part of me that can appreciate the strategic part of trying to go after one player and get them off their game where they're following you, and then their next thing you know, they're on the bench because they've got three fouls in the first half and they got to sit out. Part of me that can respect that. But when you're a player that is completely capable of scoring 30 on any given night without having to do the flopping and the just charging into a player to draw the foul without even thinking of shooting it, it rubs you the wrong way. It's not the kind of basketball that you want to watch. You know, you've got Kang has the unethical scoring here that we talk about. You know, you compare and contrast that Cade Cunningham with the way that he went about his business versus the way that Brunson's going about his business. Cade's trying to score. He's driving to the lane. He's trying to score. If there happened to call a foul, it's not because he's trying to draw it. He's trying to put the ball in the basket. And you look at Brunson, that's not what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is get you up in the air, and then he'll launch himself like he's Bill Goldberg trying to spear you to the back. Foul, let's get two shots or three shots. I don't like the basketball.
No one likes the basketball, and you don't like watching it, and you don't like going against it because I don't get it because from a player point of view, you want to play basketball. You want to be competitive. You know, it looks like Brunson's trying to just manipulate the system and not play the game. And that's all we grew up playing the game. The way Cade does it, he's like, I want to score. I want to try to win like this way. And like I said, I think Brunson's found a loophole and he's really good at it and it works. And that's the way he's going to play it. Now, I was annoyed. I'm still annoyed. But the more I think about this, the more I'm like, you know what? Go ahead and foul hunt Brunson, because if that means you're not going to give the ball to Carl Anthony Towns at all in the fourth quarter, fine with me. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the best players in the game and on the court, and he didn't get to shoot the ball in the fourth quarter? You have a mismatch there, man. The Pistons are trying to run Tobias Harris at him, and he's doing the best he can. But Carl Anthony Towns can bully you down low. He outweighs Tobias, and he's got this great skill set where he can take you outside or inside. And if they don't want to use that as a Knicks fan, I'd be pissed. And if you want to keep concentrating on isolation and trying to draw fouls and the Pistons win the game, then I'm fine with it.
It's Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, it's Doug Karsh. Check out the spring savings at Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Lease a new 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $289 a month for 36 months with $1,999 down. $289. Go now to 17.5 in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights, 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. With GM employee discount and lease in the household 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Offer ends at the end of the month. The 2025 NBA playoffs presented by Google delivered its most watched opening weekend in 25 years, averaging 4.4 million viewers, up 17% versus last year. So what were the games over the weekend that got everybody watching? Was it just Luka playing for the Lakers?
Wait, what? Did you say Luka's playing for the Lakers?
I mean, I guess everybody played on the weekend. Did that storyline drive these ratings? I doubt it was the Pistons.
It's all Pistons, though.
Yeah, I wish it were, but
people want to see Cade Cunningham.
Kang, what do you think that is, driving TV ratings up?
I think if these numbers are true, I think it's probably, obviously Luka and LeBron. I think the 2-7 matchups now aren't the same 2-7 matchups growing up. Like the Rockets-Warriors, besides the fact you have Steph Curry as a star power, that's a real series. You know, like that's not like a, you know, lay down series like it used to be. Obviously, Memphis losing by 50 wasn't, that's a lay down series, God. It looks like. But most of these matchups are competitive. That's the deal. And maybe the fact that you had the lead up of the play-in playoff games now, you know, part of the NBA was trying to get the build up going into the playoffs. Maybe that worked.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I wouldn't have expected that. I mean, we're a long way away from thinking this is a total a Piston influence. We saw it with the Lions, right? But not this. It's not us. Wish it were us, but it's probably not us.
How dare you?
Well, look, I mean, they are a good team. I think people like this Piston team. I think they become a story outside of Detroit, but I don't think they're like.
They're finally viral. In the party, man. It's been years since they were in the party.
Yeah, but we're not viral or anything like that. That's what turns you into a big ratings getter.
The NBA, you know, they're built on stars. They've done a great job of spreading out the stars throughout the league. You know how they do the matchups like two teams and they put one player from each team up there to highlight? The NBA has legit stars on every team that can put up there, where there's Jokic, Kawhi Leonard, you know what I mean? Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler versus, you know, whoever. Like, they Ja Morant, you know, even though his team is not good, he's a star. Everyone knows who he is. So maybe that's a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you're probably right. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. So we've got that. We've got Game 2, Tigers and Padres coming up tonight. We got the NFL Draft just a couple days away. And we will be broadcasting live on draft night on Twitch and YouTube starting at 8 o'clock. We'll be parading through 97.1 The Ticket personalities. It's going to be...
going to parade them.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time, and we look forward to it and hope you can join us on Twitch and YouTube. But we'll obviously have Pistons Game 3. Did that announcement that you just told us off the air, is that official about Game 3 at LCA?
Yeah, the Pistons have released what they're going to do for the home games.
Yeah.
And Game 3, they're going to have a full arena T-shirt giveaway for Game 3. They're going to have rally towels giveaway for Game 4.
Yep.
They're going to have pregame activity tip-offs with pregame fan fest at Little Caesars Arena Plaza.
Okay.
Which is nice. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. Get there early. They want you to get there early. They're also going to be handing out. Remember the Lions used to do those wristbands that light up?
Yep.
They're going to be doing that as well, the light-up bracelets that will activate in tandem during pregame introductions and halftime.
Nice.
Throughout the evening for Game 3. First 10,000 fans will receive Thunder Sticks.
Thunder
They're
sticks.
Back, baby.
Oh, boy.
So... I'm just looking at the weather for Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe things have changed. I can't believe I'm reading this. It says a high of 83 on Thursday and a low of 55.
83.
It does not indicate rain. Very, very, very small chance, like less than 10% chance of rain.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
That could be spectacular.
248-539-9797. Nate, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing?
We're doing great, Nate.
Good. I had a question. I was questioning a statement. A couple of nights ago, I was watching a podcast with B.J. Armstrong, the guard. He used to play for the Chicago Bulls.
Yep.
He said by the hiring of Joe Dumars, and it was another guy that got hired too. I forget his name. He said the physical style of play is coming back to the NBA, and the way you can tell that it's coming back is by the way the refs are reffing the game. He said that if you're not able to play physical, you won't be able to play in the NBA. And I wanted to know what you guys thought about that. And another thing, a couple of years ago, I heard an NBA player talk about Kevin Durant. I think it was whatever team he was on. They played the Boston Celtics, and they got physical with him. And the physicality took him out of the game. And I wanted to hear what y'all guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, when they played the Knicks during the regular season, the Knicks didn't like the way the game was whistled. They complained about the way the game was whistled. And when the game was over, Karl Anthony Towns sat on the court for another, 15, 20, 30 seconds talking to an official after the game. So they didn't like the physicality of that. Could it be coming back? I mean, time will tell. I think it's probably too early to say that. But playoff games have been known to be physical. Everybody's trying harder, playing both ends of the floor.
Everybody's kung fu fighting.
Those kicks were fast, weren't they?
They're fast as lightning.
One might say. Here is Rico Beard, who's made his way in studio and joins us now on 97 on the Ticket. What's up, Rico?
Gentlemen.
How are you, sir?
Good, man. So people, they're still talking about last night's game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the funny thing was watching it, I was sitting there saying, they're really allowing a lot of physicality in this game. I wonder when it's going to stop, when it's going to end. Because normally the referees will say, all right, enough. Going back to the ticky-tack fouls, I literally felt like I went in a time machine and went back to the late 90s and early 2000s, like when the Pistons, like the going to work, when they were holding teams under 70 points. Like, they're really letting them do this.
Yeah.
Well, they did, and then they didn't, and then they did, and then they didn't. I thought it was inconsistent last night.
See, I thought
on both sides. I thought it was inconsistent the way they called the game. They started calling everything for a while there, which was ridiculous.
Gator, see, I saw the other. I'm like, at least they're consistent. Like, they're just saying, so long as you don't draw blood, don't care what you do out there.
You know what's crazy about it? If it were too physical for the Knicks last night and the Pistons didn't even have Isaiah Stewart. They didn't even have Isaiah Stewart. Like, their biggest...
Well, they had Thompson out there. I mean, because it was funny because he was like, review that. I'm like, actually, let's not
review that one.
Because you did foul him. No, let's do that. Okay, you're about to lose this one. So, yeah.
I assume you got a lot of Piston talk today.
Got a lot of Pistons talk, and really may even have some fun with Shaquille O'Neal because when you got to go, you got to go. Don't know if you saw what happened.
I did not. I did not.
He walked off the set.
He had to go.
He said, Chuck, keep talking. I got to go.
Things happen, man.
I've been there.
We've all been there.
It's Carson Anderson.
John, keep talking. Got
to
go.
Have a great show, Rico. Those guys are coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.